I will be coming to Pinoca on Wednesday the 17th, and if any of you want to see me that day to ask questions or discuss concerns that you might have regarding our Bible talks, please let me know. I'll be delighted to receive your input and to hear what you have to say. And you can phone me at any time during the week. You can text me, or you can phone me, or you can email me. You're most welcome to do that. There's a note in the bulletin that will tell you how to contact me. Today we're going to leave the stories of Jesus, and we're going to look at the little guy from Jericho, taking that title, of course, from one of our famous prime ministers a few years ago, the little guy from Shawinigan. But first, let's pray, shall we, for God's blessing. Most merciful Father, smile on us with your favor and send your Holy Spirit to us, that we might see Jesus more clearly, follow Jesus more nearly, and love Jesus more dearly. Amen. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. We discover in chapter 19 of Luke, that's where he would invite the people for the last time to join the kingdom movement, God's kingdom, and to follow him. And of course, we know that when he arrived, the people rejected that call of his, and that was the week in which Jesus was arrested and put on a form of trial and crucified as a criminal. It was also the week when Jesus rose again from the dead. On his way, he passed through Jericho. Jericho, you remember, was 17 miles east of Jerusalem, downhill all the way as you went from Jerusalem, uphill all the way as you went up to Jerusalem. And when they entered into Jericho, a crowd formed. It was like a parade. People were lining the streets. They had heard about the great prophet. And Jesus and his disciples and the crowd following him to Jerusalem entered into Jericho. Now, there happened to be a chap there by the name of Zacchaeus who wanted to also to see Jesus, but as we read in Scripture, couldn't because he was too short. He couldn't see over the crowd. It was probably also another reason that Luke doesn't mention, and that is that Zacchaeus was greatly disliked. As a matter of fact, disliked is not the proper term. He was absolutely hated by people. And Zacchaeus, we don't know, maybe he was under 5 foot. As he tried to get through the crowd, people were certainly resistant to him getting into the front of the line. Listen, guy, if you think I'm letting you in here, forget it. Listen, Zach, you cheated me out of taxes last time. Get to the back of the line. Hey, if you want to see Jesus, why don't you go down the street there and climb up into a tree? Then you can see him. And everybody's going to laugh at him, too. couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And so Zacchaeus did just that. Went down the street, climbed up into a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus as he passed by. Now, why did no one like him? Because he was a tax collector. Now, remember when we talked about Matthew, we described the Roman tax system. The Roman tax system was by bid. You bid on how many taxes you would collect to give to the person above you. And if you won the bid for the most taxes, then anything you could collect over and above that was yours. So if you came and the tax for you was really 10 denarii, charge you 12 denarii. 2 for him, 2 to pass on. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, Luke tells us, so that he had a whole number of tax collectors under him. He collected from all of them. And probably didn't just collect the taxes from them. He added to the amount of money that they were supposed to be giving him that he was going to pass on. And Luke says he was very rich. He had a good scheme going. The Romans were very happy with him. And he was a very happy man as well. And of course, as his house was renovated, as he took on more servants, as they went for longer vacations down to the Mediterranean, he and his family, you knew it was your money that he cheated you out of. Your money. As he threw big parties, invited the few friends that he had, your money paid for it. You couldn't do much about it. It was a Roman soldier by his side. Couldn't argue. But you sure didn't have to let him into line. Make him go down and climb that tree. Little sucker that he was. You weren't going to have anything to do with him, that's for sure. Nobody, but nobody liked him, except for his family and the few friends that he had. We read that Jesus came by, stopped, looked up in the tree, said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm hungry. I'm coming to your house to eat today. Now, that was my introduction to Zacchaeus. I was a preschooler going to Sunday school, which I greatly disliked. But our family went. I had no choice. I had to go. And I learned the song. I loved the song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Lord came walking by, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm coming to your house for tea. For I'm coming to your house for tea. I love the song. You could do actions to it. Sunday school is boring because you had to sit there. But that was a great song. And I like Zacchaeus. He was short. I was short. I couldn't see past the crowd wherever we were. I sort of, you know, identified with him. I did like the fact that he gave a bunch of money away to the poor people. I was one of the poor people, so I thought I could collect money. It was a good idea. And it was a very British song. I mean, I'm coming to your house for tea. But I was a Brit, raised in a British household. So tea was, well, it could be a cup of tea, but tea was dinner time as well. You know, the one time I don't turn off my phone, because it never rings, it rings. And it's a friend of mine. He knows I am in church this morning. Well, I tell you, talk about Zacchaeus having problems. I've obviously got problems as well. I hope he doesn't phone back. If he phones back again, we're just going to ignore it. And Jesus comes to his house. People are not happy about it. Not one little bit happy. Jesus has initiated the visit. It wasn't that Zacchaeus, when Jesus came by, said, hey, excuse me, would you like to come to my house for dinner today? No. It was Jesus who stopped and looked up. Hey, Zacchaeus. The people just thought, I mean, this is not the way a prophet was supposed to act. A prophet doesn't do this. And that was the problem with Jesus. Like, he was constantly being accused of spending time with people that he shouldn't be spending time with and going to houses where he shouldn't be going and going to parties where he shouldn't be. They were the wrong kind of people. But he was doing it. I mean, when he went to Matthew's house, right? I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was terrible that he called him to be a disciple. You don't call a Matthew to be a disciple. He's a traitor. He works for Rome. I mean, we have to understand this whole bit about being a traitor. It was a traitor because you signed on with Rome. Or if you were a Ukrainian, and you signed on with the Russian army. Or, God forbid, the United States invades us and you decide to go to work for the United States. You know, this is not acceptable. And it wasn't acceptable in Zacchaeus' case either. And so the people were very upset that Jesus did this. He became known, as a matter of fact, as a friend of sinners, the wrong kind of people, tax collectors, swindlers. We don't know what the topics were that they discussed. Well, that's not completely true. We don't know the specific topics, but we know that Jesus came preaching and talking with everybody about the kingdom of God. And so without question, he was talking to Zacchaeus about the fact that he needed to join the kingdom movement. He needed to join the kingdom of God. Yes, he's a Jew, but even though he's a Jew, he's not a true Jew in that he's a person of faith. He's following the money trail, not following the God trail. And so they have a discussion. And Zacchaeus says, Lord, and it's a public time. I mean, it's in his house, that is true. But you see, the doors were left open in those days that other people could come in. And although they weren't invited to dinner, they could gather around the dinner. They could hear what was going on. And Zacchaeus stands up and makes a very public statement. Lord, I'm going to give half of everything I've got to the poor, and I'm going to give four times to the people I've cheated. I mean, that's an incredibly difficult statement, I think, to make, because it means a complete lifestyle change when you stop to think about it. It means no more renovations on the house. It means no more servants hired. It means smaller allowances for the family. It means shorter and fewer vacations. It involves smaller parties with fewer people. It's a complete, total lifestyle change. His friendship relationships are all changed. Many people who wanted to be his friends before, they're not going to be his friends now. It's a totally new life, new attitudes. Now, before we continue on, let's just take a little interlude, shall we? And I just want you to notice that there are three themes here that run all the way through Luke. So they just come together here in this passage of Scripture. So there we have one, and you see it on the screen, the problem of riches and what to do about it. And Jesus is constantly talking about money, constantly talking about wealth. He's constantly talking about what you're going to do. What's your relationship to the poor? Two, the identification with Jesus with sinners. And that runs all the way through the gospel. The people he meets, the things he says. He's identified as a person who inhabits the life of people of all kinds. And three, he has a faith which recognizes Jesus as Lord. Jesus is King, and it results in a new, compassionate life. Now, faith isn't mentioned in this passage of Scripture, but that's what's behind the life change. He places his faith in Jesus, and that brings about the revolution in his life. Now, those three themes you'll find all the time running throughout all of Luke. Now, let's go back to Jesus' response, shall we? Salvation has come to this house today. Why don't we read it together, shall we? Salvation has come to this... Oh, let's start again, okay? Because some of you just didn't quite get in on it. Ready? Salvation has come to this house today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Now, it's interesting. Salvation has come to this house today, Jesus says. But Zacchaeus has just made an economic statement. I'm going to give half of everything I've got to the poor, and I'm going to pay back four times what I've cheated people out of. Can't you just imagine? Simeon heard it. He was standing there. He goes home, and he says, hey, Martha, his wife, You remember the last time we had to pay our taxes? Did they charge us more than we should have had? Well, I don't know, Zacchaeus. Well, find out if you can, will you please? Because Zacchaeus is going to pay back four times as much. So if we were supposed to pay 10 and he charged us 15, that means we get four times that 20. Look through our records, will you please? Ha, the lineup was big. The lineup grew to collect money from Zacchaeus. But the statement that Jesus made is a salvation statement. And Zacchaeus makes an economic promise. So does that mean, and this is the question we have to ask, is salvation economic for Jesus? Is Jesus' salvation economic? Would you answer, well, yes, it is? Or maybe you would say, no, Jesus' salvation is not economic. Think about it for a moment. Matthew has made a purely economic statement. Jesus has said salvation has come to this house. Yes? Economic? No. Not economic. Yes. Zacchaeus is changing in his relation to money. He's changing his attitude to money. It's a revolution. It's a financial economic revolution. Salvation is economic. No. Salvation isn't just economic. It's not primarily economic. Salvation is relational, a relationship with God. It involves forgiveness. And behind the change in Zacchaeus is Jesus. Jesus has spoken to him. He's responded to Jesus. He has a new relationship to God in Jesus Christ. He's made a new commitment to Jesus. He's decided to follow Jesus, and he's decided to follow Jesus' way, which means that he has to change his relationship to money and to finances. The two are connected. So the answer is, yes, it is definitely economic. We can't get around that. No, it's not just economic. It's brought about by, instituted by, based and founded in Jesus. It's yes and no. It's both. But we need to pay close attention to this. We need to realize that this revolution in his life, this revolution in Zacchaeus' life, altered the entire life of him. It was a faith revolution. It involved his total life. It was a lifestyle revolution. Salvation is holistic. It touches all areas of our life. And we need to pay attention to that today, I believe. It touches his money. It touches his lifestyle. It touches his relationships. You see, I think that if we're not careful, we evangelical Christians, those of us that call ourselves that, and those of us who attend or are part of what we call an evangelical church, are in great danger of reducing salvation to a one-time experience, a born-again experience, taken from, of course, Jesus' visit to Nicodemus, where he tells Nicodemus he has to be born again. And so what we do is we sometimes reduce it to that. Are you a Christian? Yes. Are you saved? When did you receive God's salvation? Oh, I received God's salvation July the 5th, 2011. That's good. But what about today? If we're not careful, what we do is, I'm born again to new life in Jesus Christ in heaven. But what about being born into Christ's new life now, here on earth, before you get to heaven? If we're born again, and I think that's absolutely correct, if we're born again, we're born again to Christ's new life. But Christ's new life is here and now. It starts right now. It continues when we die. And therefore, my friends, Zacchaeus teaches us a very valuable lesson. God's salvation in Jesus Christ is a here and now experience, not just a future experience. Yes, it's eternal. It's eternal, not because it starts after death. It's eternal because it never ends. Starting now, for the rest of our life, through our death, in God's presence. And that's what Zacchaeus teaches us. And that's what we need to realize, that salvation is a total life transformation for us. And it continues on every single day in our life. We need to keep this in our mind. You see, it's specific. God's salvation is specific. Jesus saves us from a number of things. Zacchaeus' case, it was specifically money. But for others of us, it can be something very different. It can be an addiction we have. It could be a bad relationship we have. It could be a poor understanding of who we are. And that needs to be changed. And it is not only specific, it is continuous. In other words, it goes on every single day in our life. I wasn't just born again at a specific time. And some of us don't even know when that first took place in our life. No, I need to be born again. I need to be saved every single day. Every single day of my life, I need to be saved. Some of us need to be saved from another person. Some of us need to be saved from, an addiction or something in our life. You know, some of us just need to be saved from ourselves. Some of us are just, we're just our own worst enemies. And we need to be saved from ourselves. And that is continuous. So God's salvation is here and now. It's eternal, but it's specific in our lives, things that need changing, and it goes on for our total life so that we're constantly being saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. But really, and with this we conclude. The story isn't about Zacchaeus. I've been fascinated by Zacchaeus all my life, from that very beginning as a preschool kid. It's changed. Because I think that this whole statement of Jesus and what happens to Zacchaeus in his life is so instructive for us and so much needed by me. But really, really, the story is not about Zacchaeus. The story is really about Jesus. Jesus is the one that looks up in the tree and calls him. Jesus is the one who accepts him and says, "Hey, I'm coming to your house today. We're going to spend time eating together." Jesus is the one who says, "I'm going to be your friend." Jesus is the one who changes him. And Zacchaeus becomes a Jesus follower. He becomes a Jesus follower. Not a synagogue or necessarily a person, a church person. He doesn't join a faith. He joins a person, Jesus. Let me ask you a question in conclusion. In what way do you need God's salvation today? In what way do you need God's salvation today?